going on, everybody? Welcome to episode one of Canucks Corner, presented by Puck and Flamingo. I'm your host, Andrew. I got my buddy Steve and Zach with me here today. How you guys doing?
Awesome, man.
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, welcome, Zach. So Zach's new to the show. He's joining us for Canucks Corner, at least episode one. Would love to have him on more often. We're going to insert your plug here, Zach. So go ahead. Zach's got his own podcast. Tell us a little bit about it, Zach. I mean, it's a great podcast.
Sure. Thanks, man. It's completely unrelated to sports, but that's why I'm happy to come on here, because it's my other biggest passion and I don't get a chance to talk about it because I've kind of pigeonholed myself on my podcast. So it's called the Plaid Jacket Philosopher. It's all about kind of blue collar work and just, you know, it's a mix up of interviews and solo episodes, just looking into different philosophies around it, digging into a little bit more under your blue collar worker. There's a lot more than just you may think of. It's not just ass cracks hanging out above pants and grunts and groans. So there's a lot more to it. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, it might be totally unrelated to this podcast, but probably not the listeners. There's probably a lot of listeners that can totally relate, myself included, even though I'm totally like, so I'm actually a chef by trade. So you know, it's a trade.
It is, yeah. It's still Red Seal. Yeah, I've got other chefs who have listened. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I have definitely been able to touch, you know, get into some of the stuff you talk about and relate. So
thanks, man.
Cool. So, anyways, yeah. So today we're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk about the Canucks. Your Vancouver Canucks. So the first thing on the docket is a couple stats I want to drop for you. See who can guess who we're going to talk about first. So we got 1,588 games played, 413 career goals, 927 assists, 1,340 points, 0.83 points per game average, 2 Art Ross trophies, 2 King Clancy, 1 Hart, Olympic gold, world championship gold, and multi-NHL All-Stars. Today we're talking about Daniel and Henrik Sedin. So I'm pumped that they're part of the organization. Who else is with me on that?
Oh, 100%, man. I don't know how to say this, but I think it's going to be a lot smoother than when Linden came in. I think so. I'm a big Linden fan, don't get me wrong, but I think these guys are going to bring an extra oomph to the organization and kind of keep Benning from making stupid mistakes. So.
Where were they 2 years ago? I don't know. Right? I'm hoping that they do too. I hope it's not kind of just a token front office ad, kind of like, the most laughable franchise on the planet, the Toronto Maple Leafs with Brendan Shanahan up in the office. Like, I'm hoping they do have a really good impact on it, but I'm optimistic. I think they will. I think they mean enough to the city and they value Vancouver as an organization and a city enough that I think they're really going to make an impact.
Yeah, they're get a little bit off the leash a little bit. So I hope so, at least.
Well, probably not right away. I mean, they did say, I watched their full press conference again before we did this. And, you know, they said we're rookies, old rookies is what they said, a quote. But I don't think they're going to be stepping into a huge role. They definitely said they're never putting on skates. They said they haven't put on skates in the last 3 years and they don't plan on it.
Rollerblades, though. They rollerblade all the time.
Yeah, Blade Gang.
Bring back the Vancouver voodoo.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, yeah. I like that they're bringing that mindset into it, too. It's, you know, they aren't coming at it like they're pros at this. They're realizing this is a completely different situation they're in. And I think that's a good sign. I'm happy to hear that from them.
Look, they're probably the most humble guys that I've ever seen in the game of hockey, you know. And everyone you talk to, or sorry, not talk to, but listen to, when they're being interviewed and stuff, they talk about nothing but class from the Sedin twins. And we saw that. We saw that for 17 years, right? All the stuff they did off the ice. But the cool things I saw that in their post, or I almost said post game, in their press conference, they mentioned a lot of things that, so what they wanted to focus on player development, and it sounded like they were really leaning on the two-way game. They talked a lot about plus minus. Like they said the most important thing to them being on the ice was winning matchups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is totally fair. I mean, you could score as many goals as you want, but if you're not winning matchups and you're in the minus column,
Yeah.
You're not going to win games.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think it's a little bit easier to match up, obviously, when you play at home. So it'd be interesting to see how they do it with last change. So,
well, and I think that's all a good point coming from them, too. I mean, despite the fact that they were kind of, I don't know, a bit fancier players, like they had a lot of skill to them, they're pretty undercover, like puck battlers, too, along the board and along the sidewall. Like they had a complete game, you know. They didn't take a shift off offensive or defensive end, and so I'm happy to hear that from them. I think they're going to do a good job.
Yeah,
they're students of the game too, right? So they're always learning, and I think they're always trying to fill the role that the Canucks needed to have as they got older, right? So I feel that that'll transition really well into management.
Yeah, and they've had a good line, you know. I also watched a Brian Burke interview. It was after their retirement was announced. And he said, like, you know, they had Trevor Linden. Mark Messier came in. yeah, but he spoke highly of his leadership. That's where he was going with this.
Okay.
Marcus Naslund, obviously. So these guys had them to look up to.
Hey, what about Luongo?
Of course. Yeah, that's right. He was like, someone asked them, actually, was their position geared around what Luongo was doing in Florida? Because they have the same title.
Really?
Yeah.
Did Pierre McGuire just get placed in the same position for Ottawa?
Yeah. I saw a meme that says, you wonder why Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup.
I saw the same one. I mean you throw shit at a wall, hopefully it sticks, right? So anyways, back to the Canucks.
Yeah, back to the Sedins. Zach, you mentioned you were at their at the banner there when their jerseys were retired. What was that like? I mean, I'm sure that was emotional. Like,
man, it was amazing. Like, that was I think that's the first and only game so far that I've just gone to by myself. Like, I texted my wife. We had a newborn at home at the time, and so she wasn't coming with me, and I just texted her. I'm like, can I just like ditch out of work here and go to the game? Like, I'll be back at midnight tonight. And she's like, sure, go ahead. So I bought a ticket by myself. I sat beside these like two old ladies who were beside me, and it was the best, man. It was one of the most amazing kind of experiences I've ever been to for a hockey game. Like, the whole arena was crazy, and not just the Sedins, but it was cool to see that 2011 core get back together. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the welcome that like Kessler got, for example.
Yeah,
like, it was almost like not putting to bed, but kind of putting a bow tie on like the end of an era when the Sedins kind of retired. And, you know, you still had guys like Edler there who were still playing, but for the most part, that was kind of putting that era to rest. And it was incredible, man. Like, you could just tell what the Sedins alone meant to everybody, but what they also meant to guys like Luongo and Kessler and all the different Canucks stars from kind of this last generation who are all there in attendance. And Bieksa was, I mean, what can you say about Bieksa? You see him on Hockey Night in Canada every time now. Just a beauty, right? Is, like,
didn't he roast everyone?
He laid into him, especially Burrows. I mean, everybody took their shots at Burrows. It was incredible. But yeah, man, that was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had as a Canuck fan or a hockey fan in general. You could really tell kind of what they meant to the city and what the city meant to them, like seeing as the banners were raised and just, it was incredible. I've got nothing but great things to say about it.
And it's kind of cool how like the city of Vancouver kind of not only just the Canucks and not just, you know, Rogers Arena, but they had the Sedins jerseys all down Granville, all, you know, hanging from the street lights, wherever it was, and kind of retired it throughout the city, right? So it's more than just hockey with these guys. I mean, I feel like they want to be here in Vancouver for the rest of their lives. They're going to, you know, retire here, be here for the rest. So, I mean,
what a Cinderella ending to their, like, their last game. Like, overtime, the scoring at 22-33.
I shed a tear. I definitely shed a tear when it happened, man.
Like, you can't make that shit up.
You can't. That was storybook ending.
It's insane. And you know what? I'll never forget it. I was overseas. Like, I was in somewhere in South America when I heard about their retirement, and I wasn't going to be back in time to see their last home game. And I was so depressed. I just remember being so depressed. Like, I almost wanted to just cut my trip short. It was like a 6-week long adventure. And yeah, I was, because it was quick. They announced their retirement quite quickly, and then I don't remember like hearing too much news about it. Even
they didn't want that, though. I feel like that's kind of them. They don't like the tension. They don't want to make it a big thing. And that's why they retired, I think, at near the end of the year instead of at the beginning when they're like, "Oh, we're retired at the end of the year." Mm-hmm. They didn't want to have that whole thing. They want to be about the team, not them. And that's how they've always been, right?
So, and that's so cool that you say that, because even in their interview, like one of the things they state is, we don't want celebrity status. Like, we want to fly under the radar. We want to work for the organization, and we want to achieve one goal, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was sweet.
And hopefully this is a chance to get to where they need to do and finish the job. So if they get a Stanley Cup through management, I think they'll be just as happy, right?
I would love it. I mean, just to see them with the cup over their head, mm-hmm. like... Mm-hmm.
Hell, you got to give it to them first. Don't even give it to Bo. Straight to the Sedins. They earned it.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Imagine if Bo passes it to Hank first.
That'd be awesome.
You got Petey standing on the sidelines. What the fuck?
Yeah. Bullshit. I mean, we got to get there first. It's still a long road.
I was going to say.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. That's the dream, though.
But Zach, you dropped a name that I kind of want to talk about. It's a bit off topic of the sittings in the organization, but Alex Edler. So he's now, it seems to be on his way out. Do you guys have any opinions there?
I guess I have more of an unpopular opinion, but I'm not a huge Edler fan. I think we should have traded him when he had the half a good season. When he made the All-Star team. I feel like we should have traded him high. I think it's time to part ways. As much as he has been a Canuck, we drafted him, I believe,
entire career, 2004, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's nice to have those guys that stick around, but it's time to move on. And the like Zach was saying earlier, you know, it was the end of that era, and we need to move on and bring in a new era of guys, right? So, I'm more on the happy side. I mean, some people aren't going to be as happy as I am, but.
I loved Edler. Like, to me, I agree. Like, I think that he had been asked a few times kind of through this last couple of years to move his no trade clause, but he never did. So it kind of sucks that it's happening now. Like, I would agree. Like, if we could have traded him for something, that would have been great. I'm bummed to see him go. Like you said, it is kind of that last piece of that era. I love Edler. I've always liked Edler, especially considering he's a Swedish defenseman. I think he's pretty good, but I liked him. Like, I hope he does well. I would love to see him lift a cup in the next year, 2 years, whatever he signs. He's probably got max 2 years left in the league, but if it's not the Canucks, then I hope Edler gets it.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Like, I don't wish any harm on the guy. I'm not like, oh, screw him, right? But I feel it's time to move on, and we're not going to get to the next level with him. He might be a good addition to another team, but I don't think he's going to fit in as well with all these young guys coming up and the guys we need to pick in.
I agree. We'll see how the discussion goes once we get to our protected list and what we do have on deep.
Fair enough.
Let's see where that goes. Right?
But I mean, that opens up cap. So hopefully
I agree.
Free agency, and we need right-hand defensemen more than we need another left hand. So we'll see how it goes.
Fair enough. Okay, so I mean, speaking of which, we might as well talk about it. Our protection list. I mean, the Canucks, like we spoke earlier, but Zach, and you said it wasn't really surprising. One surprise name, and that wasn't an accusation that happened earlier yesterday, I think it was. So we have Steve. You have the names in front of you there. Do you want to?
I sure do. Yeah. So for our protected list here, we have for forwards, Brock Besser, newly acquired Jason Dickinson from the Dallas Stars, who we trade for a third round. Obviously, our captain Bo Horvat, his winger at JT Miller, Tyler Mott, Tanner Pearson, and of course Elias Pettersson for the forwards. We have 3D as well, and one of them is Ulevi, Tyler Myers, and Nate Schmidt. And for our goalie, it's going to be Thatcher Demko. So no surprise there. I mean, I think when we signed Helpy, that was kind of the plan to you know, hold on to Demko and hopefully they can come take up Holtby. So, but that's our projection list there.
Yeah. So, I mean, my biggest takeaway, obviously, well, let's start with Dickinson. So, there was kind of a spot that was, it was kind of a toss up. We didn't know who was going to get the protection. We knew pretty much Jake Virtanen was not. Yeah.
take him, I mean, please.
Yeah.
If we had Toffoli, we might be able to.
Oh, geez. Here we go. Oh,
yeah. Zach, I'm salty, man. I'm fucking
what's your
salty.
Opinion on that one?
I mean, you know what?
Let's slide off topic a bit here. Thanks, Steve.
No worries.
At the number that he ended up signing with in Montreal, like, we should have had him at that number. I mean, yeah. That's crazy to me. I mean, yeah, I don't know what else there is to say. Like, hindsight's 2020. I don't know what the conversations were for contract with him, with Toffoli, but at that number, like, that's a no-brainer for anybody to pick him up. I mean, the way that he slotted in with the Canucks top six, yeah, it's maddening now looking at, but again, I don't know what the conversations were before. I think once he hit free agency and everybody realized what the market was going to be post COVID and flat cap, like, maybe that's where he kind of got kicked in the teeth a little bit as far as what his expectations were. And then maybe he just never went back to the Canucks. I don't know what the story was there, but yeah, looking at his number now, it's maddening not to have
him. I know he wanted to stay because obviously him and Pearson are best friends, but they they're like in their wedding party and all that stuff. So they're pretty good friends.
No, I didn't know that.
Exactly. I guess they, from my understanding, and don't quote me on this, but they wanted, Virtanen kind of had that little bit of breakout in the playoffs. Obviously not as good as Toffoli, but they felt Virtanen was going to fill that role a little bit better. And maybe it was kind of, they drafted Virtanen, they wanted to pan out, they wanted to kind of cover their own ass. Oh, this guy's going to do what we want him to do. And went that way instead of Toffoli. I completely disagree with that decision. And like you said, for what he signed for, I mean, and what he did to us in the regular season. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
No, like, he came back with a vengeance, man. So even if he didn't play a game for us, I mean, he was on our team, we probably won a few more games last year. So
absolutely.
yeah. I mean, it is what it is though.
Yeah.
You can't dwell on it now. Before. Exactly.
Right. Right. So anyways, we've got a decent third line center, I think. And for a third rounder, I think that's pretty much a steal. Yeah, I mean,
I think so too.
He didn't put
up breaking out yet though. I mean, that's, he still has had a breakout season. So, I mean, we're kind of hoping that he does break out in the next year, but his stats aren't the greatest, but well, he is a two-way player. Like scoring stats, sorry. Not as much as plus minus or PIMS or anything like that, but he hasn't really breakthrough. Hopefully that's not the case, and he does. We still need to fill that role, I think, with either in the draft or to try to have another center come through. That's my opinion. I don't know how well he's gonna go through. You guys seem to be a little bit more hyped on him than myself. But we'll see how it goes, right?
To me, I don't know if it's necessarily hype on Dickinson, but I think when you look at like just the percentages wise of a third rounder really making an impact, only giving up a third rounder to get a bona fide 3C, I think is a pretty good deal. I'm happy with it. I mean, you know, this core is kind of starting to come into that age. And I mean, obviously they aren't hitting their prime yet, but, you know, hitting 22 to 24 between PD and Besser and, you know, Horvat's obviously on the high end of that, but I think it's time to start filling out that roster with that 24 to 28 year old ish range if we want to kind of start to build some depth. So I'm fine with it. I mean, I think we've got a lot of young talent kind of obviously with Pod Colson coming in this year, Hoglander making his impact last year. I think it's time to start filling that roster out with the mid-20s to, I don't know, I mean even early 20s, whatever, but start to develop a competitive core now rather than, you know, worrying too much about in the future with a third rounder. That's just my opinion.
I can kind of agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at it that way, like what a third rounder would really be worth to us in this guy. I mean, the only reason we got him for that is because he would have likely gone to Seattle for nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think he's going to Seattle though? Do you really think that he would get picked up? So here's something that
probably from Dallas. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking if you think he was going to be picked up, then obviously it's a good move. But I was kind of thinking if we waited to post expansion draft and then made that trade, know what I mean? Because now we have another protection list where we could put someone else on that protection list, like Cole Lind, like McEwen, like someone like along the lines of that, or one of our younger guys, and then try and make that trade after the expansion.
Yeah, but the point is that he wouldn't have been that cheap after expansion. The only reason he was that cheap is because of the expansion draft, because Dallas didn't have room to protect him. Therefore, he would have been made available. There were two players, and the other player was from Florida, I don't know how you say his name.
Nola Chari.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. So Dickinson and Achari, they were the two players they were two third line centers that are like bona fide centers. And I don't think Achari is being protected in Florida either.
No.
Yeah. So he'll likely be someone that Seattle could probably take, right?
Yeah. I mean, from Dallas, though, even if we didn't have Dickerson and he was available and he wasn't protected by Dallas, I mean, I would have went with someone like Blake Como over him. If I was the Kraken. So that, I mean, there's also defensemen there too as well. So like Vatanen. We'll see.
Vatanen. Is that how you say it? I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, it's Vatanen. It's Vatanen. Sammy Vatanen. I said Vatanen. My bad. but I think there's a lot more higher skilled guys on that Dallas list. But like you say, if his price went up, then that's not as worth it. We'll see.
It's tough to say, because yeah, if I was looking at Dallas, I mean, for me it would have been Dickinson or probably Jamie Oleksiak, but that's what I was thinking
as well.
It's tough to say, man. Like, I mean, we don't have to get into this because I misread the notes for this podcast episode, but I did a Seattle mock draft, and it is hard, man. Like, trying to work in that cap, as well as you got to have a number of contracts that are signed through 2021, 2022. You can't just pick up all UFA and RFAs, minimum number of forwards, minimum defense. Like, it's tough, man. Same with getting over that cap floor, but I had more of a hard time getting under the cap limit, but it's tricky, man. Like,
under the cap limit with it.
I got in at 77.2 million out of the 81.5. And I think I have a pretty good roster. I have two modifications that I have to do, because I was going off of the projected protection lists, and there were two players that ended up being protected that I didn't have in here. But yeah, man, it's tricky. So I don't really envy Seattle's brass there. It's pretty crazy. But mind you, I mean, we can talk about it too. There are some crazy names out there to pick up.
Right. So let's roll into that. But let's start with Vancouver.
Yeah.
So let's start with the players available in Vancouver first, and then we'll move on around the league and we'll talk to some big names out there. So I'll start with you. Out of all the players available, now let's say, first of all, if Dickinson wasn't here, who would you have protected?
Cole Lind.
You would have protected Cole Lind. So do you think
Zach McEwen or Cole Lind? I think Cole Lind has the potential. I mean, he was our leading scorer, at least goal scorer, I believe, in the AHL. He's on a top line. McEwen, obviously, playing in the AHL, make a bigger guy that can play that physical presence. Those would be my two. Even Jalen Chatfield, I'm still have high hopes on him. I don't think he's going to be taken. But those would be my kind of guys there, or even Brogan Rafferty. I mean,
I also want to mention something about Dickinson. I forgot. So another thing that he could potentially come in to do is take a big load of the defensive work off of Bo Horvat.
Amen.
Which will open up him to be more offensively minded, because he takes all of our defensive draws.
Yeah.
Right. That's one thing I really liked about him, that protecting maybe someone like Colin or something wasn't as
it wasn't really the hole that we needed to fill. I see what you're saying. And I agree with hopefully Dickinson taking a lot of that defensive load off of Horvat, because I mean, Horvat's a horse both ways, both ends of the ice. But if we can get him to fuel a bit more of his time, or even just offensive zone starts are going to be huge, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, that's a good point. That's interesting.
Yeah, if you can win the draw in the defensive zone, you can win them in the offensive zone, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
the circles don't change, so that would be definitely helpful for us.
I got Jason Dickerson's stats right here for faceoff, and I mean that's one of the bigger things. Last year, he has a 43% with about 5.8 faceoffs per game and 51 games. So not too bad. He fluctuates between 43 and 48 for the last 4 years. His first 2 years, obviously not as good. So hopefully, yeah, he can come in. And if you play a defensive game, play the PK, I mean, that could be a big thing for the Canucks, right? So
they did say he'd be put on the PK. Well, now again, Benning used the word, hopefully he can, you know, he'll be able, what do you say? He'll be able to fight for a roster spot. So,
yeah,
you know, obviously
on the PK.
No, on the roster. Or on
the roster itself.
I mean, I'd say it's pretty much a given, but you want to keep that competitive nature to the position and to the guys. So
if you're the Kraken, I mean, obviously this might be more of a better question for Zach since he just spent, you know, a few hours.
Yeah, talk to Zach about this.
It's hard.
If you're the Kraken, who do you take from the Canucks?
So I picked McEwen. That isn't who I hope they take as a Canuck fan, but if I were building a team, I would take McEwen. That guy,
who you hope they take as a Canuck fan, right?
Yeah, as a Canuck fan, I mean, yeah, we could always cross fingers and toes and hope for Louis Erickson, but that's not happening. Oh, wow. But yeah.
We might have to throw him in with a couple of draft picks.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, I honestly think it's going to come down to McEwen or Holtby. It depends on what direction they go with their goaltending. Like, the draft pick or the picks that I did for goal, like, I'm kind of partial to Jonathan Quick, so I sent Jonathan Quick there kind of as their veteran goaltender, and then I picked up three younger attendees for Seattle. But from Vancouver, I think it's going to be either Holtby or McEwen. In my draft, I did McEwen because I just know how valuable he is to the Canucks, and he's going to make your bottom six that much tougher, and he can skate too. Like, the guy isn't just a plug who just fills a hole. Like, he's a good player. I like him.
He reminds me a lot of what I expected out of Zach Kassian. Maybe not as
totally
tough,
absolutely,
but the same type of what he was projected to kind of be, right? I mean, we went over and we were watching I think he played for the Wheat Kings, Kassian, or is it the Spitfire?
Yeah,
one of the 2010 Memorial Cup. And he was I think it was the Spitfires, one of the teams there, and he was like 30 something goals or something along the lines of that. Like, he can put the puck in the net for a big guy, right? So
yeah, he really impressed that game.
Yeah, he was pretty good. So I guess talking about goaltendings and being open to the Kraken, there's a big news yesterday.
Oh yeah.
All you Montreal fans. Yeah, Carey Price.
I don't think that'll happen though. Now
hoping because of cap hit, right?
Before we dive into it, we'll just in case you guys haven't heard or you don't know yet, Carey Price has waived his no trade clause just for expansion purposes. So that means that the Kraken cannot select him and flip him. Once the expansion is done, his no trade clause resumes. So Montreal's kind of done this too because they don't think the Kraken will take Carey Price. That's ideally what they're thinking, right? They'd rather protect someone else because Carey Price has like an $11 million bonus at the end of this year. And that would be something that would hit Seattle very hard in the wallet.
The same type of thing in Washington with Ovechkin, right? So Ovechkin, for those who don't know either, is not protected. They went with Backstrom over Ovechkin, basically for the same reason, for the contract, how big their contract is and how much they can make it fit. But there's some big names out there that are not protected. So
what do you think, Zach, with your numbers crunching?
Well, I think it would be really hard to fit a goalie like Price into that cap with a $10.5 million cap hit. Like when I was doing it, I mean, that cap hit, that's the hardest thing. Like, I had to go back and edit a bunch of my picks because there's so much talent on the board this year. Like, I mean, you got Tarasenko with 7.5. You've got Duchesne at 8, Johansson at 8. Not that those two are worth 8, but, you know, they're out there as a bona fide number one C. If you're going to build a team and you're going to be able to pick somebody up, if you want to be competitive, I mean, I think they're going to take one of those two guys out of Nashville.
Just to put this out there, in NHL 2020, I think it was, whenever I created a new team, I would draft Duchesne at my number one center in the expansion draft. I regret it every time. Don't take him.
Not in NHL 2020. All right. Everyone hates on Duchesne, man. I like him. I don't know. I would not for $8 million.
No, well, and that's it. But yeah, like, so anyway, going back to price, like, and the other key thing too is his wife is from Spokane, Washington. So that would be right close to Seattle. He does spend his time out here on the West Coast. He's obviously a West Coast boy. So it depends. I don't know. I don't think they're going to take him. Just that cap hit is pretty heavy, but it depends on how they're building their team. But yeah, it is interesting for sure, though, that price is on the board.
Who did you have? Who did you have? Did you have the goalie in Florida there? Driedger.
And yeah, the only reason I really put Driedger, because there's, I mean, Nolachari is a huge pick out of Florida, but Driedger, it's just because so many reports have been coming out that that's who Seattle is zoning in on out of Florida. But yeah, like
I think it makes sense.
I think it makes sense too. Driedger's an up and comer. I think it makes a lot of sense, but I did have them picking.
I see a lot of Markstrom in him, kind of same type of way, you know, coming up. And when we first got Markstrom, when we made that trade, I don't know how happy I was about it, but then obviously it turned out to work out for us. I see Driedger kind of being that same type of late bloomer, turning into the same type of player as Markstrom. So I mean, it would be a solid pick.
Yeah, it's funny with goalies too, man. Like as far as them like maturing into the league, like with the way that I picked it, I picked up Vitek Vanacek out of Washington, Kaapo Kähkönen out of Minnesota, Chris Driedger, and then Jonathan Quick kind of as that veteran presence to kind of mentor Driedger and mainly Kähkönen along. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting with goalies because you're right, Steve. Like they'll definitely mature later on in their career for the most part.
Exactly. I mean, it's very rare. I think was it Holtby? It was a Washington goalie that came in. He was like 21, 22 and lit it up. It wasn't Holtby.
Samsonov. Or at least.
Yeah. And they just came in at like 21. It's super rare to ever have that, right? Normally your goalies in like, I mean, Demko, what, he's 24, 25, and now he's, you know, finally being a starter, you know.
Probably, hopefully.
They went back and forth last year, but Demko was the better goalie, in my opinion. Holtby started strong, but Demko ended it strong. So,
yeah. Bennington also had a good early start, didn't he? How old was he
The thing is that he was a rookie, but he was a 26, 27-year-old rookie.
Was he? Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Yep. So it's that's
normal for goaltenders.
That's goaltending, right? Same thing with defensemen. It's rare that you have, you know, these Cale Makars, Quinn Hughes coming up at 19 and being a star defenseman. Mm-hmm. A little bit easier at forward because if you can shoot a puck, you can shoot a puck. You're going to score if you can. Being a defenseman, you got to learn how to shut these guys down, right?
So that's true. But that's also the thing with those two names you just dropped there. I mean, they're very offensively minded defensemen. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a little bit easier. Shouldn't say easier, but positioning wise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Cale Makar is one of the best overall. I think he's really strong defensively as well, but they are offensively gifted.
Yeah. What about Tarasenko? Do you have him moving, or is his shoulder too
how do you take him? Unpredictable. How do you take him on that? I wouldn't. I don't know. I mean
It's tricky with that shoulder, right? But he's only got two more seasons left at 7.5. I mean, that's obviously a pretty decent cap hit. But if you see Vladimir Tarasenko on the board at 7.5 for 2 years for free, that's tough, man. Like, his contract will expire when he's 31. I get it's a heavy cap hit, but if you're trying to sell tickets and put butts in the seats, like I took him anyway. That's all I'm saying is I took him in my fantasy draft.
I probably would have.
It's tough to pass up on there, man. But I get this, both ways.
I feel like the name's bigger than the player. Like, you know,
that's possible.
He hasn't
at
really,
this stage, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of dropped off a bit, right? He had that, and who knows if he's going to go back.
He's been hurt for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly, right? So how you're like, you know, it's the same thing with Markstrom. It doesn't matter, you know, we got rid of him, but he gets hurt twice a year, right? So if you're only playing half the season and you're paying 7.5 for a guy that's playing 40 games,
yeah.
Is it really worth it? Would you rather pay for someone that maybe is going to play all games and be able to slide in there a little bit better? I don't know. Obviously, that's something for them to decide, but I don't know if I would pull the trigger on Tarasenko.
It is tough. I mean, going on what you just said, I just am looking up his last two seasons. So combined between the last 2 years, he's only played 34 games. He's got 7 goals, 17 assists. So what, 24 points? It is scary, but mind you, in 18-19 when they won the cup, which is his first full season or last full season, he played 76 games, 33 goals, 35 assists for 68 points. Like,
That team had really depth scoring, though. Like, every line could score. So, if they're the top line and you have to shut down one line, it all depends on how they're going to draft their team. And obviously, we're not in the minds of the GM. But
totally.
If you have a top – if you stack up your top line and you can shut down Tarasenko, he's going to get frustrated. And he's also – I mean, this is obviously a common thing with Russian players. Will he leave for the KHL? Right? Now, his story might not be putting up points. He can go to the KHL, maybe lit up. Put 30 goals in, and he's only scoring 7 or 10 down here. A lot of those guys like to make that switch over. So, Triumkin to name one.
I think it's a little bit different.
At least he's got 2 years left, so he is going to be sticking around. But
yeah, that's fair. But it's just something, if you're looking for the longevity of something.
That's the other thing you have to look at from a Seattle expansion point of view is contract length. Mm-hmm. Right, you don't want to be taking a bunch of guys just because it's a big name. If he's got 1 year left, he could just up and leave, mm-hmm. And then you have nothing. You're left with nothing. And same with no trade clause movements. You have to keep that in mind as well if you're a general manager in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if they're. I'm kind of curious if they're going to kind of manipulate the system like the King or the Knights did, coming in, getting guys like Shea Theodore and making these trades and backdoor moves on a lot of teams that pissed off a lot of GMs. So we'll see if they can manipulate that. I mean, they can come up with a lot of draft picks and then make trades in the offseason too, right? Trade some draft picks for some other players, see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll certainly be interesting, I agree.
Yeah. Is there anything else you had there, Zach, from your list? Like any big names that stood out to you, or
I don't think so. I mean, but touching on what Steven said too, is that same idea that, like the contracts are so important. Like I know Vegas loaded up on a lot of guys who were going to be pending UFAs or RFAs kind of the season after, so that if that first season didn't work out properly, they had a lot of rentals that they could shop around. Mm. And that's, especially in kind of building out the decor, like just looking at the fantasy draft and what's out there, like there are a lot of players who are UFA, RFA in 2022, 2023 that you could load up on if you're Seattle. And if the first season doesn't go as planned, like they could trade them for a boatload of picks. Like, I think there's a lot to be said about that idea of building the team.
Yeah, that's that. To me, that's scary though, because you could also not, and then just have them walk away if they're not happy playing in Seattle or whatever.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
I think Vegas is a bit different. I think because I think more players would want to play in Las Vegas than Seattle.
You say that maybe, but at the same point, it's not so much if they want to play there. If they're available, they don't really have a fucking choice, right? So, but the thing is that. Since the Knights came in, the whole system of franchisee or expansion draft has completely changed from when Carolina came in or Atlanta came in, and they're bottom feeders for 15 years until they pick up like a Kovalchuk or something like that, where you can crap, we have one good player. Like Bettman wants these new teams to come in and make a difference. So it depends on the first year, to be honest. So we'll see where they're going with it's. I don't know. It's hard to see where their mind's at. Are they wanting to load up on young guys and wait 3 years before they make a run, or are they wanting to just try and make a run right away? So if you are making a run, then maybe a Tarasenko would be the play, right? But if you're waiting for a 3 year plan or a 4 year plan to try and make a big run, then he may not be the guy, right? So
yeah, I mean they also have what, a second round draft pick, second overall. Is it
first? Is it?
No, that's perennial first year. Buffalo gets first.
Oh, okay. So second.
Could you imagine overall if Buffalo didn't get first? Those poor bastards.
Oh my god. You just feel bad for them at this point.
Yeah, they're probably gonna take Owen Power, I assume.
Yeah. Did you see
6-for-6 defenseman?
I don't know if I missed it, but maybe I did because I've been overseas so much, but Arizona, they're not picking this year in the first. They lost their first.
Dirty cheaters.
Yeah. Dirty cheaters.
What?
They broke the COVID protocol back in like 2019, 2020 season.
They lost the first round pick.
Yeah.
I think it was something that they were doing with their draft testing on the players. Like they were getting kind of a little bit more in depth before they should have, before all the other teams were allowed to.
Yeah.
Something like that. But they messed up some protocol there, and now they lost their
first round. Something to do with the combine.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now they lost their first round pick because of it.
Try and bribe some players to come play for them, I guess.
Yeah, that's yeah. wild. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, Steve, your reaction was exactly like mine when I saw that. Like, that's a harsh penalty, but
that's a, yeah, especially in the NHL, right?
Imagine if the Patriots got lost a first round pick every time they fucking cheated.
They did. They still win. That's the difference of football, though. Football is completely different. A first round pick in football is, you can get the same player in a fourth round pick. It all depends on position and what you need, but in the NHL, once you, it's very rare that you're going to get down to the sixth, you know, round five, round six, until you get an all-star. Right. I mean, it does happen. Guys like Zetterberg, Naslund, right. Mm. You know, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks that, that turn to studs, but normally your first rounders should be first round caliber. So.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's talk about the Canucks options at number nine, or just draft overall. I mean, we could talk about the top 10 picks, where what you guys think potentially where they could land. I know that you guys have a couple of hopefuls that you're hoping drop down the ranks a bit.
So I think it's going to be the first. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit off air about the first four picks. Owen Power is probably going to go for number one. That's my prediction. My prediction to Buffalo.
Yeah.
The Kraken's kind of up in the air. That all depends on, you know, who they take, who they pick up for their team in the expansion draft. Luke Hughes, obviously, probably going to the Devils. Hopefully, if we can make him, I'd really like to make a move up to fourth and try to pick him up. Have Luke and Quinn on the same power play. But I hope we can get someone like a Mason McTavish if he's going to drop. I think he's rejected sixth or seventh, but I have big for him. He's an 18-year-old, 6'2", 207, plays center, right? Big strong guy. Same with Kent Johnson, both Canadian guys. Kent Johnson, 6'1", a little bit smaller at 165. Also North Vancouver guy, Burby Winter Club. So I'm hoping to kind of keep with that, but I feel like we're going to go with Brant Clark, a right-handed right defenseman, 6'2", 190, another Canadian guy from Ottawa, projected top eight in every prospect scouting. So number two in some for defensemen. We'll see. That's kind of where I'm going for. We'll probably get Clark, but I'm hoping we pick up a center and McTavish or Johnson.
Yeah. And Zach, what about you? What do you have?
Well, I'm going to kind of follow a lot of your guys' lead on this one, because I was kind of saying, like, I didn't spend a ton of time looking that up the draft order. I mean, to me, like, right where we're picking at number nine, like, from a lot of the lists that I saw, it was kind of Dylan Gunther, who's a left wing, right wing out of Edmonton Oil Kings. He seems to be picked in that area. But on the list that I'm looking at, he's kind of tied for number two overall. So maybe he's out of our reach. There's William Eklund, Kent Johnson, like Steve was talking about. And then Chaz Aluchas, who on Bob McKenzie's rankings anyway, is right in at number nine. He's an American center out of the U.S. National Development Program. But I don't know. I mean, I'm curious what you guys think. Well, we'll go through who your pick is as well. But what you guys even think, whether it's drafting for position or drafting for best player available at the pick.
Yeah. I mean, Benning said he will draft best player available, but yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you have to take the best player available that's suited for your team,
yeah.
You know, unless you plan on using as trade bait down the line or have something else in mind, or maybe, you know, you draft a left winger knowing that JT Miller won't be around for long or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had my ninth, I swung heavier. I had Gunther as well, but I swung heavier to William Eklund just because there's a couple, he's Swedish, and there's a couple Swedes going to be working closely with our prospects. Not only that, you could see him on a line with Pettersson. So, you know, there was also talks of Benning going out and, you know, getting an older Russian player to help Pulled Colson kind of transform into the league transfer. Yeah. Sorry.
I think there's a lot to that idea too.
Personally. I think so. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, and you, when you have more people that you're,
as,
Go ahead, Steve. No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Say, do you think you're going to pick him up in the draft, or you're going to say pick him up off like a fourth line guy that's going to kind of fit in there?
Well, for Podkolzin, you would pick up a veteran player.
Yeah.
For a ninth overall draft pick in 2021, you could get a Swede because Pettersson will be ready to teach, you know.
Yeah.
Pettersson had Edler and Markstrom. Mm-hmm. You know, and I agree. I think it means a lot, especially for these guys who don't, you know, their English might be decent enough, but it might be easier for them to critique their playing style when they're speaking their native language, right? And players like Markstrom or Henrik and Daniel, or you know, for the Swedish example, they can do that. Especially I know, just from travel and stuff, a lot of other languages use very specific words for specific things. English can be very vague. So if you say something in English, you know, it could mean a few different things. Whereas, you know, if you say something in Swedish, it could mean specifically one thing that you cannot, you know, misinterpret. That's
English is the hardest language in the world, right?
Right.
It's hard if you don't speak it, right?
Especially if you don't speak it first as your first language.
I can barely speak it, man. I've been doing school for 13 years and I still can't read or write. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat there too.
Blue collar, baby.
Exactly. I can swing a hammer.
Yeah. So that move makes total sense to me. Drafting a Swede, especially someone who might be available, who fits, who has the playing style that could really, from what I read about him anyways, could really, what word am I going for here? Compliment, at least Pettersson's, playing style. So, and the fact that JT Miller probably won't be, even if he is around for longer, maybe not a top two or a top six, you know, he could end up on the third line.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just rambling.
I was gonna say, what do you guys project Podkolzin to kind of slot in? Do you think he's gonna kind of go in that first or second line, or do you think he's gonna fit into a bottom six?
Ideally, or what we've got with our roster now?
With our roster now, where do you think he's gonna fit?
With our roster now, I don't know. I mean, we're gonna have what? Petey, Besser, and probably Miller top line.
Yeah, Lotto line.
Yeah, the Lotto line back together. Then we'll have, I don't know, I guess we could say Horvat. Now this is where it could get interesting, because on the right wing, like, we don't have a whole ton, really. Like, we could go Horvat, Podkolzin, and then I don't know, probably
Pearson.
Yeah, Pearson or Hoglander, I was gonna say. Like, I mean, Hog played well last year in kind of a top six role, but it's also going to be his sophomore season. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, on our right side, I mean, who do we have signed right now? Like, it's, you know, Miller was playing center last year because of Petey's injury, but Miller should slot back over to the right side.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if he's going to play with Petey, he's going to be on the left.
He'll be on the left side.
So I don't know, man. It's a bit of a mess with trying to figure out the Canucks wingers this year. That's why well, first off, I guess they got to get Petey and Hughes signed, so we know what kind of money we have allotted to sign free agents. But there's so much in the air right now with Vancouver.
That's why I like the Eklund pickup, because he is a left winger.
Yeah.
He could slot into a first line position. I mean, hopefully soon. You know, potentially as soon as possible. And then land on the first line, and that would put Miller on the third line, which, you know, you look at teams that are competing, they have three lines,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So Miller with like Cole Lind or Zach McKeown, depending who gets kind of picked up there.
And Dickinson in the middle.
Dickinson, yeah.
At least now with Dickinson picked up, I think that solidifies our top three centers, and it should give Miller a bit of more freedom to move around with the wings and kind of develop some line chemistry. I mean, even though he has it with the Lotto line, but he also played well with Horvat as well. So I think there is a bit of movement there.
Yeah, we're not so handcuffed in that situation, having another bonafide center. with injuries, right? So like you said, Miller had to go play center, play maybe a little bit out of his position that he really wants to, maybe not as comfortable, maybe had to play a little more defensively than he likes. So having that Dickinson, hope if he can fill in that role, come up, if Petey's out, Horvat moves up, you know, Dickinson moves to the second line, keep Miller on the wing. And then hopefully, yeah, like Bud goes in, hopefully he can step up and do what we expect from him. So
if Pod can come in and have an impact like that a lot of us are kind of hoping he will, that'll make a huge difference, man. Like we'll have two scoring lines essentially now. I mean, we can worry about that third line after, but at least we'll have two lines that can actually do some damage.
No, that's exactly right. And that's really what we need. I mean, we've got Vertanen's gone, Sutter's gone, Edler's leaving, so we still need a defenseman on the right side as well. Nate Schmidt, all rumors, those rumors have been floating around for a long time.
What I've gotten to, I don't know if you guys must have heard about too, was they want to move Schmidt with a pick for OEL, Oliver Ekman Larson. I don't like it. I do neither. Not want it. I don't want him on our team. I don't want to move him for that. I hope it doesn't. I don't think he's going to fit into our scheme as much as we have. He's more of, we'll be stepping on Quinn Hughes' feet, maybe.
Exactly.
So I would like to have more of a shutdown defenseman with a little bit of offensive capability. Maybe a comparison to like a Sammy Salo type thing. But I think we need to get rid of Schmidt. He doesn't want to be here and he's not going to play, right? Like,
do we know why? Doesn't want
to play for you guys. I think he went from the Knights to the Canucks.
I think so too. I think that's
he doesn't like to lose.
I mean, and realistically, Schmidt doesn't have a bad cap hit. I think it's right around 5.8 to 6, if I'm remembering correctly. And you know, he's an effective top four defenseman. He does have some offensive potential. I mean, obviously, if he's got a bit better of a team surrounding him, like, I think he's got value. We're not shipping him off for a bag of pucks here. Like, we should be able to get something in return. I'm kind of with you. I'd like to have somebody who's a bit more defensively minded, and OEL and Quinn Hughes on the same defensive core doesn't really, I don't know, it scares me a little bit. But yeah, I'd like somebody with a bit more defensive responsibility.
Who do we have right now? So for our back end, this is like, it's a bit of a struggle. Yeah, I mean,
it's a struggle.
We've got no more Edler, right? We've got Nate Schmidt's gone.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, yeah.
So that was our top two pairing last year.
Yeah. Hamonic's free agent.
So we've got Hughes and Hamonic. We've got Rathbone and we've got Myers.
And Hamonic hasn't even signed. He's UFA. So we don't even know if we've got him coming back. We've essentially got Hughes, Myers, and Schmidt.
Yeah.
Along with our handful of
Rathbone. Rathbone exposed? No.
No. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I don't think he's eligible to be picked up yet.
No, you're right. He's not. He's not. Yeah, he's too young.
It's the same reason why Hughes didn't have to be protected.
Yeah.
That's right. Rafferty.
We also have Jet Wu coming up too, guys. I'm kind of hyped on him. I don't know if you guys are.
Is he Vancouver Giant?
What?
No.
No, he played OHL.
Oh, sorry.
London.
I'm thinking of the Team Canada team. He got snubbed.
Yeah.
The World Juniors.
We can quickly talk about this, but the Avacer came out with their new name too. quote unquote. The Canucks. So it's gonna be a lot of fun going down and checking those games and seeing those guys. But I really think Wu can make that transition. I really hope so. And but he's a smaller defenseman as well, so we're gonna need to bring some size in. I'm hoping to get rid of it's not gonna happen, but in what I would want to have was to trade Schmidt back to the Knights, maybe with a second, and pick up Alex Martinez. I'd rather have Alex Martinez, man. I think
I love Martinez too.
He's such a solid defenseman. He can make the first pass, the breakout pass, and I love watching him play. So if we could pick him up somehow, maybe Schmidt would be a bit happier. We can get both of them, put them on the line together. Who knows?
Or the best pairing, sorry.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's going to be an exciting week. I'm really pumped. I'm sure you guys are too. You'll be glued to the TVs. Yeah, you'll have to send me messages because I'm sleeping when all the good stuff happens. So it'd be nice to wake up to some messages and and then we'll get back on here next week and we'll talk about all the results. Steve and I will for sure. Zach, hopefully you can join us. We'll be in touch about that. Definitely.
For sure.
It's been fun. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it. And I think you guys have a great thing going here.
Yeah, it's talking hockey is always fun. Always fun.
So easy as a Canadian boy.
It's real easy. Yeah. Steve, thank you. And we will be in touch next week. Again, guys, if you have the time, check out Zach's podcast. Zach, one more time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the Plaid Jacket Philosopher. It's on any of the big podcast platforms. And I give all my info on there and how to reach out and whatever else. It's all included.
Definitely. And for us, you can check us out on YouTube as well as all the podcasting platforms. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, and get your up-to-date hockey news here. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week.